Now, Olcott thought of this in a distinctively modern way. What he was concerned about was constructing a form of Buddhism that he could present to the world, not just in Ceylon, but also to the world at large, as being scientific, pragmatic, down-to-earth, and experiential. This vision of Buddhism is sometimes said these days to be a form of Protestant Buddhism. And the reason for that is that Olcott himself was the son of a Protestant preacher. And he brought a certain kind of Protestant vision to what religion ought to be that he, of course, found in Buddhism, but he also enhanced in Buddhism in order to make it accessible and effective in its presentation to a Western audience. We've seen that. See it today in the teaching of the Dalai Lama, and you'll see it quite often, actually, if you pursue Buddhism outside this course into contemporary literature about the way the tradition applies to the issues of modern life. Now, all of this took place from a European and American perspective over there on the other side of the world. Ceylon is not a place that for many people at the end of the 19th century you would normally think of ever visiting. You didn't rub shoulders with people from Ceylon all that often. But Buddhism came much closer to home in an event that has had tremendous effect on the history of Asian religions, especially in Northern America. American perceptions of Asian religions were radically transformed by an event that was called the World Parliament of Religions in Chicago in 1893. When religious leaders were brought from all over the world into a great confab in Chicago to present their teaching, to discuss their teaching with one another, and begin to make all of these traditions available in an American environment. In retrospect, we can look back on that time as the beginning in a number of different religious traditions of active missionary activity, active missionary projects by people from the Hindu tradition, from the Buddhist tradition, bringing their faith and making it accessible to an American audience. This parliament brought a number of charismatic Buddhist leaders from Asia, including Anagarika Dharmapala, who was a Theravada Buddhist from Ceylon, been very strongly influenced by Olcott's vision of a modern experiential form of Buddhism. And at the parliament, a Rinzai Zen master by the name of Soyen Shaku met an author and German emigre who lived in the Chicago area by the name of Paul Karas, who helped him. The chain of causes here is a little complicated, but Karas helped Soyen Shaku bring to America a young scholar by the name of Daisetsu Suzuki to help propagate Zen. Suzuki became an extraordinarily eloquent and prolific writer about Zen, and for many people in America, especially in the 20th century, especially in the early years of the 20th century, Suzuki was the avenue into Zen. He gave that first vision of the tradition that made the Zen tradition so appealing to so many people in the American audience. After the World Parliament of Religions, Asian Buddhists in North America took steps to organize their own religious communities in ways that they hadn't before. These communities have continued to flourish as the religious and ethnic makeup of American society has become more and more diverse. This happened particularly in the 1960s when American immigration laws changed and it was possible for people from Vietnam, from Thailand, from the countries of Southeast Asia and other places in Asia to immigrate to this country in larger numbers than they ever had been able to do before. A particularly venerable and successful Asian community is the organization of Jodo Shinshu Buddhists on the West Coast known as the Buddhist Churches of America. I've mentioned them several times, and I'm happy to say that know them reasonably well and have come very much to respect the work that they do, making the tradition of Pure Land devotion available in an American context, but also adapting it to American needs in a way that make it a truly American form of Buddhism.